Welcome to Light in the Night. Do you need help falling asleep? Or do you want to relax listening to a peaceful, happy story without any suspense or negativity? Then come with us to the small town of Charlottesville, where 15-year-old Marcia Erickson lives with her parents and older brothers William and Trevor, living a happy, everyday life in a world in which peace, security, and happiness reign. A summer day. Marcia sat in the sun, with her back against the wall of the house, the warm flagstones of the terrace below her. What a beautiful morning! The sun shone down bright and friendly from a cloudless blue sky. In front of her stretched the garden of her parents' house, green and wide, down to the lake. The shadow cast by the big trees on the grass, together with the bright skylight, formed a pretty speckled pattern that moved and made new shapes with every rustle and sway of the trees in the wind. It was a Tuesday morning. Marcia had been on early summer vacation since Saturday. No school for a week. Another breath before the exams that came her way in the 2 months after that. It had rained over the weekend. She had spent the days with her family, had a leisurely breakfast with the others, talked a lot, laughed a lot, and read a lot in the evenings. It had been nice days in the warm, cozy house, despite the rain and the dark sky outside. But since yesterday, summer was here. For the first time in a long time, the temperatures rose and everyone was in the mood for going outside. As long as you have the right people around you, Marcia thought, holding her face gleefully in the warm rays of the sun. Any weather is nice, really. But the fact that summer is starting now is great, of course. One of the right people, no sooner had she thought that, stepped out of the house onto the terrace. Marcia could tell by the sound of footsteps that it was Mom, and looked up at her. "Well," said Mom. "Well," echoed Marcia. And Mom laughed. "Are you still going swimming?" she asked, pointing to the lake. "I just was," Marcia replied. "It's still very cold, though." "Knowing you, you were in the water for at least an hour anyway," asked Mom, sitting down next to her on the flagstones. Marcia laughed. "Well, not quite. Long enough that I'm a little chilled out now. But you warm up quickly in the sun, don't you?" She reached a hand into her long blonde curls and no longer felt wetness, which prompted a satisfied nod. "Your two brothers suggested a little trip," Mom said. "Trevor and William?" asked Marcia in amazement. "Do you have any other brothers?" "Oh, Mom, no. But I didn't know they appreciated outings so much." Her mother grinned conspiratorially. "Between you and me, I think they're just plain bored. Haley went on vacation with her parents, and without his girlfriend, Trevor is now at a loss for recreational plans." "He's not at a loss," objected Marcia, coming to her brother's defense. He just misses her and doesn't feel like doing anything on his own.
Right, agreed her mother conciliatorily. And in that respect, a family trip would be a nice idea, wouldn't it?
I'm definitely in, exclaimed Marcia. Where would you like to go?
It was to Fiddler's Well, a small town about a half hour's drive away. Even though Marcia, her mother, and brothers missed Dad a little, who had been at work since the wee hours of the morning, they had lots of fun on the drive. They dug up a few old nursery rhymes from their memories and sang out loud, barely sticking to the lyrics, but making up and rhyming lots of nonsense into them.
Mom kept shaking her head and saying, "You guys are something else," but still sang along vigorously herself, as long as she didn't have to concentrate too hard on the traffic. And so they were all in high spirits when they finally reached their destination, looking forward to the day together. Fiddler's Well was a pretty, neat little town with a sprawling pedestrian zone downtown, which they reached in a few minutes from the parking garage. William mused about when they had last been here. Trevor furrowed his brow thoughtfully. It was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. Is that about right?
Yes, exclaimed Marcia. I think we were here with Aunt Agatha and Uncle Harry.
You're right, agreed her mother. Now I can remember too. It was a pretty wet fall day and there was a strong wind.
Which is why we only went to 2 museums and then to a cafe, added Trevor, who now also remembered the pictures from back then.
William was very pleased with this memory restored in a joint effort and declared,
"Well, it will be different today. With this nice weather, we were not limited to indoor activities."
He was to be proved right. During the next few hours, only a few good-humored fair-weather clouds wandered across the blue sky above them. And so Fiddler's Well, with its pretty old buildings, streets and alleys, lay in bright sunshine. They walked a bit, crisscrossing the downtown, always following their instinct to wherever seemed most interesting. A soap and perfume store to their left caused Marcia to stop for a moment and sniff appreciatively.
"What a scent," she said in rapture, looking with interest at the pieces in the window.
Red rose soap in flower shapes, dark purple lavender soap in round pieces, and golden honey soap in bee shapes could be admired there. Trevor joined Marcia and also showed interest. William, on the other hand, who has an extraordinarily sensitive sense of smell, kept his distance. The mixture of all these scents, he thought, would almost make him dizzy. So while he and Mom stayed outside a few meters away, talking about the facades of some beautiful old half-timbered houses, Trevor and Marcia took a closer look around the store. Marcia, in contrast to William, was thrilled. Not only did the store smell heavenly of flowers, of essential oils, of all things fine, but it was also nicely decorated. In addition to the varied selection of soaps near the entrance, there were all kinds of perfumes, bath products, and scented pillows in the back of the store. Marcia, after some deliberation,
finally settled on a small, light blue iridescent perfume that smelled, she couldn't describe it any other way, like a fresh summer evening. Trevor bought two of the rose soaps from the window, a red one for Haley, whose return on Friday he was looking forward to already, and a white one for Mom. She went wide-eyed as her oldest child stood back outside and handed her the gift. "Thank you, sweetheart, that's beautiful." Trevor grinned and mumbled something about no big deal as they started moving again. After about 10 minutes, they reached the large town hall square of Fiddler's Well. In its center was an imposing fountain. Parents held their young children by the hand as they balanced along its narrow stone rim, laughing and splashing themselves and their friends with water. Small groups of people sat or stood on the wide steps leading down from the fountain onto the square, talking or enjoying an ice cream. Nearby were two quaint-looking and well-attended flower stands. The City Hall building occupied the entire western side of the square. Stately towers rose on its sides into the blue summer sky. It was framed by two museums, a department store, and many small restaurants and cafes that had set up their tables outside in the good weather. Trevor tilted his head and looked in their direction. "Are you thinking the same thing I am?" he asked his family, winking conspiratorially. "If you're just getting hungry and your mouth is watering at the thought of food, then yes," nodded Marcia. Mom laughed. "Well then, let's go pick out something nice. That place back there looks inviting. What do you think?" Soon they were seated in a quiet courtyard at a round table. A pitcher of homemade lemonade and four large glasses in front of them. Green ivy and vines climbed up the red brick walls of the surrounding houses that bordered the courtyard as walls, creating a fresh yet warm color combination. The waitress was nice and quickly realized that the Erickson family was not from Fiddler's Well. After placing the order in the kitchen, she returned to their table and chatted with the four of them for a while, telling them about the history of the little town and offering a few culinary tips for the next visit. "What a nice woman," said Marcia when the waitress had finally taken her leave and she herself and her family were seated in front of steaming plates. As they enjoyed their meal, they chatted about school, their plans for the coming days, and especially where they would go on vacation during the big summer break. Later, after they had said goodbye to the friendly waitress, full and satisfied, they walked around the streets for another hour or so. They passed a cinema complex and, inspired by it, thought about which movies they would like to see in the near future. They marveled at a church that rose into the sky between small and large houses and philosophized for a while about the vast differences between the religions of the 21st century compared to their present, their today, in the 22nd century. They discovered a neat little park where white doves cooed on the trees and pensioners sat smiling on wrought iron benches. And they finally decided, after all the impressions of today, that Fiddler's Well was quite a delightful little place. Nevertheless, they were eventually drawn back to an equally delightful place, their hometown of Charlottesville. As they sat back in the car with the early afternoon sun shining through the windows, Marcia leaned her curly head against William's shoulder and narrowed her eyes a little. It was a 3:15 when they arrived home. Dad was already back from work. "There's my dear family," he exclaimed, as he opened the door for them and they greeted each other. "I hope you're not too tired from your trip," he added, after glancing at his somewhat sleepy-looking daughter. "Not at all," his wife replied in amazement. "Why do you ask?" "Because I ran into our neighbors, the Millers, on the way home. We chatted a bit and realized that it's been far too long since we've had coffee together. That's why I called them in to join us for 4:30. "Oh, that's great," exclaimed Marcia. "They are bringing their daughters, I hope. We haven't seen Anna and Mary in weeks." "Yeah, they're both with us." "Great." And so the Erickson family spend the next hour in anticipation of the visit, getting everything ready for their guests. While Mom and Dad were in the kitchen making coffee and hot chocolate and chopping a fruit salad, Trevor, William and Marcia stood pensively in front of the table on the terrace. Trevor, who was about to put down the stack of plates with the dishes, said hesitantly, "It's a little chilly already. In an hour, it might be already too cold for certain sensitive people." He winked at his sister. "And that is why," Marcia nodded, pointing to the part of the garden through which the sun was just passing on its way to the horizon, "we don't set the table here, but back there." The three of them carried the wooden table out onto the lawn, unfolded it, and set it decoratively. Marcia picked a few daisies with William and spread them on a couple of small vases on the table. "Very pretty," she said, and William nodded with satisfaction. "This is really picturesque. The nice wooden table and the meadow, the green trees and grass all around, and the flowers." He broke off and gazed absorbedly at the garden. Marcia looked at him from the side and smiled. She loved her two brothers. Each was unique in his own way. Trevor had always been the big brother for her, the strong big brother with whom she always felt protected and cared for. William was closer to her in age, they were only 2 years apart, and sometimes Marcia felt that he was a little more like her as well. She could exactly relate to his pensive look at that moment. What a beautiful day they had spent together. Full of joy, fun, and good humor it had been. And now they were standing here in the afternoon sun, in this little green paradise with the rustling trees and the softly gurgling lake behind them and the birds singing in the air. And they had so many more beautiful hours ahead of them, with people they liked, with people they loved. Dad came out of the house behind them. Their heads turned to him at the same time, as if in a single motion. Balancing a large platter of muffins and cookies in his right hand, and a small pot of frothed oat milk in his left, he set them down on the table and nodded with satisfaction.
"Will you help us with the rest?" he asked his children.
"Of course," they answered, as if from one mouth. Half an hour later, the Ericsons were sitting in the garden with their neighbors, all enjoying coffee, fruit, and sweet pastries together.
"So, dear one," said Mom to the Millers, "now tell us how you are. What nice things are you doing this vacation week?"
"We always sleep late," crowed 5-year-old Mary happily.
The others laughed. "Well, that's the way it has to be on vacation," said Marcia, and Mary nodded eagerly.
"We went to visit the grandparents this weekend," Mrs. Miller told them, "and yesterday we went to the theater."
"What was playing?" asked Dad, taking an indulgent sip of his coffee.
"Something quite time-honored," replied Mr. Miller, "namely, The Mouse Trap."
"Isn't that a play from the Middle Ages or something?" asked William, bobbing his chair up and down on the grass.
The Millers laughed.
"Not exactly," said Mrs. Miller, "just from the 20th century."
"So ancient too," Trevor remarked, a little disinterested.
"You said it," said Mary's older sister Anna, "so it was strange, but I still have to admit that I found it interesting. It was an exciting story, all right, I'll give the author that."
Mrs. Miller winked at Anna.
"Well, you see, my child, I'm glad to hear that. In any case, we saw a piece of history."
While Mr. and Mrs. Miller began talking to Mom and Dad about more old plays and novels, the younger ones at the table moved on to more current topics. Soon, loud laughter rang through the garden, and the five of them became very cheerful. They clowned around, cracked jokes about this and that, and toasted each other with juice and coffee. And because the conversations among old and young alike wouldn't stop, the Millers stayed with their neighbors for a long time that day. Eventually, the day turned to evening, and the evening grew darker and darker. Finally, the sun disappeared completely behind the horizon, and night settled black and velvet over the Ericsons' garden. Mom fetched warm blankets for everyone from the house and lit a few candles on the table. And above them, the stars rose, twinkling, and the moon, just getting ready to become a round, full silver sphere in the sky again. Marcia put her head back and looked up. "It's so beautiful to be alive," she thought.